we have all been brought up to think that caring and loving is the same thing, that if you love someone, you need to care for them. In other words, you need to support them, often in very physical ways, right? Showing up somewhere, help them move, right? Carry their things, listen to them, spend hours improving their mood when they're going through difficult times or some challenges or loss or whatever it might be. And that if we don't do that, if we don't essentially take on that burden, right? If it wasn't a burden, it wouldn't take any effort. But that's what people want to see from us. They say, well, if you love me, then I want to see you sacrifice something. Your time, your energy, your effort, your attention, right? And if it didn't take any of that, then it wouldn't be called care, right? Care is sacrifice. So people who love us and the people that we love, think we love, whatever you want to call it, right? Whenever the word and idea love is involved, this is what happens. We want to see proof, right? We say words are one thing, but actions speak louder, right? And that action, what else is it other than sacrifice? Again, you sacrifice your days, your time, your attention, your efforts, money often, whatever it may be, whatever the person is sort of looking for, right? And care, as I've pointed out in a video, it's interesting. Sometimes it's interesting to look at the word origin of the words that we're discussing. And the word origin of care comes from the old English word caru, which means, used to mean, sorrow, anxiety, and burdens of the mind. And that's exactly what we want from people. We want that they make us their burden. We want that they worry for us. We want that they're anxious for us. Otherwise, we think they're totally unaffected, that they're non-caring. This person doesn't care about me. If they cared about me, my problems would be their problems. My burdens would be their burdens. And in fact, our whole friendship would be a burden to them. I want it to be something that weighs on their shoulders. Otherwise, I'm not sure if I exist. I'm not sure if I mean anything to other people, if I cannot affect their lives, their emotions, their mind, their state of being. When people who supposedly care about us and who do care about us in the real definition of the word, meaning who burden us and who want themselves to be burdens to you, that's exactly what they do. They'll put you down to be able to pull you up again. And they'll pull you up only to be able to put you down again. Because they believe in the idea of sacrifice. They believe in the idea of suffering too. That's why they care about you. They care about you. In other words, they worry about you. They're anxious about you. They make you a burden in their mind as a sacrifice to you so that you are obligated, in their minds, of course, not truly, to do the same for them so that they can get the thrill of, oh, I affect someone's life. I exist. I'm real. I have weight to me. My existence bears some weight on someone else's life. If they always put you down, at some point you would just say, why would I do anything for you? And then they would lose that caring person, one of their caring people in their lives, and they don't want that. So it's the cycle of up and down. And up and down. You go down to be able to go up again. You go up, and that means you have to go down again. And is that not life? It is life if you make it so. It's not necessary. The up and down is not necessary. The up necessitates the down, and the down necessitates the up. But the whole roller coaster of up and down is not necessary. Is not necessary at all. The difference between care and love is this: that care is an emotion, and that love is not an emotion. This is why people who like to put other people down, who like to have caring people in their lives, who want to be cared for, this is their only argument to get people to do it. It's the illusion that care and love are the same thing, that you cannot love someone without caring for them. And they claim love to be an emotion. That's why they want you to be emotional, because they say, you're such an unfeeling person. You don't care about anything. You don't care about me. You don't care about your work. You don't care about this. You don't care about your family. You're so unloving. And that's where we finally have to say, hold on right there. It's true. I don't care. But that is exactly what enables me to love. Someone who is bogged down by worry, by anxiety, by burdens of the mind, which are self-inflicted, by the way, right? When we say to love someone, we need to care for them. As soon as we say that, we take on those cares, right? There's an expression, this person has a care in the world. That's a good thing, right? So we take on those cares, though. We are a very caring person. We have many cares in the world. And that's supposed to be our sacrifice. That's supposed to be our proof. That's supposed to be what makes us worthy of receiving love, that we suffer in this way, that we sacrifice our time, our mind, and our efforts, our money, our everything, our energy. That's our sacrifice that we put on the altar, and it's supposed to make us worthy of love. In other words, it's supposed to make us worthy of having people who suffer in return for us. Do you really think that love demands sacrifice? That love demands that you cut a part off of yourself and give it to someone else? That it demands that you suffer, especially for someone else? That it demands that you have burdens in your mind, that you're constantly up and down and suffering and on this roller coaster of emotion? Love does not require sacrifice. Love does not want your sacrifice, because love is above validation. You cannot fight for love. You cannot harm love. You cannot damage it. Love is up and above every other thing. It does not need our support. It does not need to be propped up by us. And no other human being can just walk up to it and damage it or even destroy it. It's impossible. Love is not an emotion. Love is a state of being. And that state of being is peace. Peace is the absence of burdens. Peace is the absence of suffering. And peace is the absence of worries and anxieties. And didn't we just admit that when we said that to become a caring person, we sacrifice? Didn't we just say that we need to listen to our friends' problems, give them a shoulder to cry on, spend hours listening to them and making them feel better? Isn't that a sacrifice that you do for your friend? You help them on their bad day, so they help you on their bad day. You give a sacrifice, and someday they give a sacrifice. Does that sound like love? Does that sound like reason? And this is what it is. Care is of emotion, and emotion is devoid of reason. Love is of reason, and reason is devoid of emotion. Because emotion is what puts you into unawareness, into an unreasoned state of being. Whenever you're angry, whenever you're resentful, whenever you're suffering, whether willingly for a friend or a family member or whatever, or for any other reason, you are unaware. There is nothing more blinding than anger, as we all know. There's nothing more blinding than worry, anxiety. It makes us go unaware. There could be the most beautiful sunset right in front of you. Healthy little children having fun watching it, playing together. Most beautiful dogs running around. You would not perceive a single second of it. You'd be in your head, worrying, anxious, depressed, regretful, ashamed. Do you realize how all of these are emotions, and that all emotions make you go unaware? They take you out of the present moment and they put you back into the past or forward into your future perceived worries. And a lot of people will argue, well, there are good emotions, such as love. We just talked about love is not even an emotion, so that's not even an argument. But what are other good emotions? For example, people say, I'm proud of my child. I'm proud of what I achieved at work. I'm proud of what I made myself. And I'm proud of who I've become. Pride is an emotion. Pride makes you judge other people. To say that I did something right is to say that someone else didn't do it as good as I did. That I achieved something that most people cannot. Because if most people can and do achieve it, then what am I proud of? I'm only proud of things if they are special. And to uplift one thing and making it special means to look down upon, literally sometimes, all other things. And so pride brings with it judgment. Pride is a false high. And pride is something that can be attacked by other people. If you're proud of your car, all I need to do is take a key to it. And now that pride turns into worry, anxiety, anger, and who knows what else, right? If you're proud of your child, we don't even need to go there. So many things can happen to your child, right? If you're proud of your house, same thing. If you're proud of your career, that career can be gone in a second. And it might even be because of a reason that you didn't even deserve. It's not that you had a good career and then you slacked and you were a bad worker and that's why you lost it. No. There are many reasons, as we know. Anything from natural catastrophes to the company itself just not doing well to a manager or your boss, your superior, just being against you for very unreasonable, biased, perhaps even, you know, bigoted reasons, all kinds of things. So anyone who has pride is subject to attack. Anyone who gets on the roller coaster goes up and they are destined to go down. And to go up, you need to go down. And to go down, you need to go up. But peace is not something that can be attacked. Love is not something that can be attacked. Love and peace is simply the absence of all the things that make us go unconscious. If you don't pick up a burden, you will not have a burden. If you don't pick up suffering, you will not have suffering. If you don't have pride in things, if you don't assume ownership over things, you will not be dejected by their so-called loss. You cannot lose anything if you don't claim it. And you shouldn't claim things that can be taken away from you for the very reason that they're not yours anyway. People make children to become proud of them, to give their life meaning, and to have someone to care for them, right? It all goes full circle, as you can see. It all connects, right? And then when their child doesn't like them so much, they grow up and they don't call them so much, or they break off contact altogether, let's say, they say, I've lost a child. You didn't lose anything because you never owned that child. You don't own a human being. Just because you made a child does not make it your property. And if that child becomes sick, gets into an accident, or like I said, just moves far away and you don't ever see it again, does not mean you lost it because you never owned it. But that's what we do. We say, I gave birth to you. I made you, so you owe me. I suffered for you. I gave up many things. I paid for everything. So that was my sacrifice. So come on. Now you give me your sacrifice. You call me. I don't want to be the first one to call. You call me first. That's what I deserve. You need to come here on every birthday, every holiday. Otherwise, you don't care. And if you don't care, you don't love. And the sheer anxiety that comes with caring. Imagine you have a friend and you want to care for them and you do truly love them, but you're not able. You don't have the money to get there. You don't have the time to be there. You don't have the physical strength to do anything for them. So now you're prevented from caring for them. And you really are prevented from caring for them. But are you prevented from loving them? No, because love does not ask for evidence. Love does not need you to prove anything to anyone, including yourself. But care does. To care for someone, you need to be there. You need to show up. You need to achieve. You need to succeed. And you need to contribute. And you need to suffer. And you need to sacrifice. And if you can't do that for any reason whatsoever, you cannot be caring. This is the fundamental difference of everything that is in our control and everything that is not in our control. Everything that is not in our control is external. And notice how the emotions are external to us. We do not control emotions. But notice how everything of reason is under our control. Our own opinions, our beliefs, the way we treat other people, the way we treat ourselves. And isn't it interesting that everything that is external to us, everything that is not in our control is of emotion. And everything that is in our control and everything that is internal to us is of reason. Isn't it interesting that not a single emotion ranks among the virtues which the ancient Greeks talk about, which Christianity talks about, which all the religions talk about? There's not a single emotion that is considered a virtue. And there's not a single virtue that's an emotion. Why? What are these wise people telling us for thousands of years in all cultures, in all centuries, in all continents? They say, stay away from externals. Why? Because they're not under your control. That's why they are external. And focus on internals. Focus on that which is under your control. And if you focus on emotions, you go up, you go down, up and down, and up and down on the roller coaster, which you are not in control of. The world pushes and pulls you and drags you up and down. But when you give yourself to the virtues, to justice, to modesty, to honesty, to moderation, to fairness, to love, then you are never up or down. You are constant. There's constants. And that constance is not below the roller coaster. It's up, above, and beyond. It's somewhere else entirely. It has nothing to do with the roller coaster, and it's steady. Because it's a state of being. It's not an emotion. And so this is the difference between care and love. They're two entirely different things. To care is not to love, quite the opposite. That kind of care that we've been talking about, to make someone else your burden and to sacrifice to them and then to expect sacrifice in return, otherwise you resent them for being a non-caring person. Does that sound like love? Or does that actually sound like hate? And that's exactly where care brings us. It brings us to hate. If this perpetual relationship of sacrifice and tribute is not kept up by one party, that party loses. That party is resented. That party is shamed and blamed. And to shame and to blame and to judge anyone is of hate and not of love. But caring ultimately always goes there. Love never, ever goes there. As soon as you shame, as soon as you blame, as soon as you judge, you're out of love. Love wants to have nothing to do with you. Love exits. And so you can never have love. But not only can you still have care in that condition, but care, in fact, requires you to be in that condition. This is the difference between care and love. And love, if it is not an emotion, but a state of being, what is that state of being? That state of being is simply this. To wish well. Can you wish someone well, or do you resent them because they owe you something? Because you cared for them so many times and so intensively, and they're not caring for you so much. Do you resent them? Do you wish them well? Chances are you're resenting them, and you might not even know it. That's the worst part. And you go to work and you do something caring. You go the extra mile. You go beyond what is asked of you in order to show that you're a good worker, that you're caring, that you're intelligent, that you're competent. And it's not appreciated. Then it's not seen. It's not cared for. It's not appreciated. And then what do we say? Do we say, well, that's fine. You know, they didn't see my effort. That's okay. I wish them well. Do we say that? Or do we say, they saw what the other person did, but of course that's their nephew. Or that's a man, that's a woman. Or I'm always neglected. I'm never paid attention to. I do all these things. No one cares about them. And my life has always been like that. And it's just going to always be like that. And this is just one of those peoples who are doing this to me. It's always the same story. I'm used to it. That's resentment. Love is to be able to wish well. No more, no less. Wishing someone well, truly within you, not just saying that. In fact, it's the least of it to be able to say it. It's a state of being deep inside of you where you know for a fact in your most honest, true quarters of yourself, where you know Yes. I wish this person well. Absolutely. Or, you know, no, I don't. I say that and I want that and I think that, but I know for a fact that I don't wish them well. I kind of do want them to be miserable. I kind of do want them to suffer so that they can see what my suffering is like and for them to know that they're doing something wrong. For all those reasons, yeah, I do kind of want, I can't wish them well. If you know that deep within yourself, then you know you have no love. You can help them move their entire house. You can help care for them when they're old, every day prepare their meals, drive them everywhere, pay for every single expense they could ever have, and still you would not be loving them. That's not love. And still deep inside of you, nothing would change. You would still not be able to wish them well. And you'd still resent them. And you'd still be bitter about what they've done or what they haven't done. So this is what love is. Don't we see that? We need to prove nothing to anyone. But there is that very internal judge who says, I know you're not able to wish these people well. You still resent them. You're still bitter. And so you don't have love. And to get to have love, you need to let go of all those burdens, all those resentments. You need to say, mother, father, friend, coworker, I resent you. And I'm wrong to resent you. I don't have the right to resent you. I resent you because we're in this ridiculous relationship of constantly having to sacrifice something for each other. And I resent every sacrifice that I had to make in order to be considered caring by you. Just so that you would think that I'm a caring person, I made sacrifices for you, and I resent those sacrifices, and therefore I resent you. I'm bitter about it. But I realize I don't have the right to resent anyone or anything, and that includes myself, by the way. And so I will not be doing these things anymore for which I resent you because I truly want to love you. I don't want to care for you. I want to love you. And to be able to love you, I must let go of all the burdens, all the worries, all the anxieties which turn into resentment. Isn't that so obvious now? That's what we need to do for ourselves and for others. If we truly want to love ourselves, we need to be non-resentful people. If we truly want to love others, we need to let go of all the things that we resent them for. And it's not them requiring anything of us. Of course, they want our sacrifices, like we talked about, because they're trapped in the same thing. They want our care because they want to be cared for. They want our so-called love because they want to be considered worthy of love. If people don't care for them, if they don't pay these sacrifices, these tributes, then they know for a fact that they're not people worthy of being loved. And so that's why they demand these sacrifices, and that's why they make sacrifices for you so that they get to demand those sacrifices in turn from you one day. And they're trapped in the same horrible cycle. It's the same thing going on with them that's going on with you and everyone else. And so someone needs to break the cycle. Someone needs to say, I was wrong. Even though you're demanding these sacrifices, even though you resent me also, even though you are misguided and you're doing wrong. We need to be able to say, but you're doing what you think is best, just like I was doing. We all think that caring is loving, and so we all do what care demands of us. And we all do that, and we think that's the right thing to do, and that's why you've done it. You've never had any evil intent. You never did it on purpose. You did the best that you can. But nevertheless, I resented you, and I was wrong to resent you. And that's why I'm sorry. And I won't do it again. And to not do it again, these are the things that I need to let go of, whether you understand it or not. And I'm not going to try to make you understand it. I'm not going to try to make you agree with me. I have come to this realization, to this conclusion, to this belief for myself, and I'm just letting you know. And after that, you go live your life. And after that, you can finally become a loving person. And anyone who doesn't understand that, anyone who will only give you their so-called love, what they think is love, if you care for them, then you don't need to be with that person. You're still going to wish them well. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to be bitter for them still demanding this of you. You're going to say, I can't do that, but I wish you well. You are in charge. You are responsible for that, for being in that state of love, which is peace. If you let in anxieties, worries, burdens, sacrifices, suffering to prove something to someone else or to yourself, then you don't get to have love. And you know that. And so it's up to you. And it's not easy, but it is simple.